Hi everyone, Benjamin here. Welcome to Microbe Talk, the podcast from the Microbiology Society. Now, as I'm sure you can hear, I'm not actually in the studio at the moment. In fact, I'm standing next to Brixton Hill, which is a giant road in South London. Now, this area is one of the most polluted parts of London, which itself is one of the most polluted cities on Earth. At the beginning of this year, Brixton Road, which is very near here, breached its annual legal air pollution limit for nitrogen dioxide in just 5 days. According to the WHO, air pollution is the largest single environmental health risk and is responsible for an eighth of all global deaths each year. Exposure to air pollution increases the risk of respiratory and cardiovascular disease and also of infections like pneumonia. But now, new research suggests that air pollution could also change the properties of bacteria in some potentially worrying ways. Anand spoke to Dr. Julie Morrissey from the University of Leicester about the study, which was looking in particular at a component of air pollution called black carbon.
So black carbon is the byproduct of diesel combustion and wood fuel combustion. And so basically it's the soot that you see. And so you can get very, very fine particles of it. So it's part of the overall air pollution because there's gases, different sorts of particles, dust, and black carbon's one part of that. But you can get very fine particles of it, which you breathe in, and so they will go down into the lungs.
What do we know about the impact that black carbon has on our health when we breathe it in?
So when we breathe in black carbon, if there's a bad air pollution day, then we know that people get increases in asthma. It makes chronic diseases worse, and also we get an increase in respiratory infections, such as pneumonia. We know very little about it. We know that when you breathe in, and experiments done in the lab have shown that the black carbon particles can damage the tissue, it can cause a stress response, it can stop the immune system working properly. So the immune cells, if you look at them from samples from humans in very high polluted areas, they're black, so you can see all the carbon coalescing into the middle of the cells. So that stops them working properly. So there's been quite a bit of work done on humans, but nothing has been done about the bacteria.
In a way, that's actually kind of surprising, because obviously the infections themselves are caused by bacteria. They're kind of the other half of the equation to our cells and tissues. So yeah, it's pretty surprising that no research has been done on this.
Exactly. It's very surprising. I think partly because it's quite an interdisciplinary subject. So we have contacts with Professor Paul Monks here at Leicester, who is an air pollution expert. So he's looked at it from the atmospheric science point of view. And I was just chatting to him when Wayne had a look at what he was doing, suddenly realised that all the health effects had been investigated were on the human side of things and nothing had been looked at with the bacteria.
So I'm recording this in London, which famously has a very bad problem with air pollution at the moment. And you're based in Leicester. So what's the situation like there?
It's fairly polluted. So Paul has a sampling station on the University Road. And so you can see after an hour, he has filters and the air's drawn through the filters. And after an hour, it's grey. So you can see the dust and the pollution that you're breathing in. So yes, it is a problem for people living in urban areas. But additionally, at the moment, it's a huge problem for people living in developing countries where there's massive increasing urbanisation. So, I mean, you've seen the pictures of Beijing and Delhi and places like that where I've spoken to somebody in one of the Chinese cities, and she said that it was very, you couldn't put your washing out because it was getting covered. You couldn't, you know, she had loads of filters to get it out of the air in her apartment. So globally, yes, it's a huge problem. And yes, it is a problem in the UK too.
Let's talk a bit about the paper. So you did three kinds of experiments, and the first one was on black carbon and biofilms. So what are biofilms?
So a biofilm is a community of bacteria that grow on surfaces. So quite often you'll see them, you know, if you've got sort of slimy scum around the taps or something, that's a biofilm. Or on your teeth, the tartar, the yellow buildup, that's a biofilm. So basically the bacteria clump together in the community and they produce proteins and DNAs and polysaccharides, things like that, carbohydrates that protect them. And it's an important aspect of colonisation. So the bacteria up your nose potentially will be as a biofilm, so it'll cover the surface and then they'll protect themselves. So it protects them against the immune system, antibiotics, oxygen, stresses, things like that. So that was the first thing we looked at, and we realised that we were getting a differential response. So some bacteria, like Streptococcus pneumoniae, which causes pneumonia, actually didn't really care, whereas Staphylococcus aureus, there was a toxicity response. And then when we looked at the biofilms themselves, we realised that it was changing the structures quite dramatically. When you're exposing it to black carbon, the biofilms get a lot thicker. Some of them are more protective, so the Streptococcus pneumoniae became more protected.
You did expose bacteria to quite high concentrations of black carbon, like much higher than what we'd, as humans, be exposed to in the air. Why was that?
Yes, so there won't be this much in the air, not in the UK. Potentially when there's a big event in Beijing when, you know, you can't see past your nose. but there'll be a build-up. So the idea was, because we'll be chronically exposed, we'll be constantly drawing in low levels, which will accumulate. And that's been seen because of the effect on the immune system when you look at the immune cells. So we know that it accumulates. And so the idea of this was, is there any effect? We went for an acute dose. We're starting to look at lower chronic exposure. But this was the first step to see if there was any effect at all.
Right, so biofilms of different species seem to respond differently to black carbon. You also looked at the effect it has on antibiotics.
So the antibiotics, so the Streptococcus pneumoniae we tested with penicillin, which is one of the antibiotics that can be used to treat pneumonia. And we saw that in the biofilm form, so when they're together as a community, in the presence of black carbon, the Streptococcus bacteria were much more resistant to penicillin. So, I mean, obviously this is done, you know, in a lab, but it looks like there's an effect on how they, their sensitivity to antibiotics.
And also some species of bacteria actually became more sensitive to antibiotics in the presence of black carbon.
Yes. I mean, we've done two species of bacteria here, and we're seeing different responses even within a species. So the Staphylococcus aureus strains. So we've looked at MRSAs and methicillin-sensitive Staphylococcus aureus, and we see differential responses. Some of them become more sensitive, and we're not sure why that is, but we think it's because they're more exposed within the biofilm to the antibiotic because of the protrusions. But some of them have, there are no significant differences, but it hasn't made any effect, or if anything, it's made them slightly more resistant. So our main concern at the moment, I think, is what's the effect? So yes, what's the effect on the antibiotics? And we're looking into that now. We're looking into the mechanism behind that, looking at other bacteria. But because we're seeing a differential response, obviously we think that there's going to be different effects with different bacteria, and that will affect the communities of bacteria you have on the body. There's definitely something happening. We know that there's a health outcome, so now we need to start looking at it in more detail.
In the final experiment, you looked at the effect of black carbon in mice. So what, could you tell us what you did there?
Yes, so what we did was, so you can breathe in bacteria associated with particles in the air. So there's been studies that have shown that the bacteria will associate with particles in the air and you breathe them in. So they'll already be interacting at that point, we think. So the way we did the experiment was that we took mice and we inoculated them in their noses with a mixture of just bacteria, just the particles, and then the particles of the bacteria mixed together before we inoculated into their noses. And then we take samples from the nose and from the lungs. And what we saw was that this is a colonization model. So you've got a colonization of the Streptococcus pneumoniae in the nose like we would expect. We would not expect anything in the lungs, which is what we saw. But what we saw with when the black carbon was mixed with bacteria, that we did see bacteria in the lungs. So it looks as though, and we didn't see any particles. So what we think's happened is that the bacteria have adapted to the particles. It's changed the way that they're colonizing the mice, which ties in with the biofilm colonization in the lab, and that it's made them more able to more capable to colonize the lungs. Now that is really quite something we have to look into further, because that could explain partly why we're seeing increases in respiratory infection and disease in highly polluted areas.
So how big of a deal is it to have colonisation of these bacteria in the lungs? Is it like inherently a bad thing?
Well, these mice weren't ill, which we still can't work out why. So we're looking into this further, but they've become colonised, so there was the potential. And what we think is that normally the pollution is more of a problem for people who are already unhealthy. So they may have underlying health problems, asthma, or the elderly, or the very young. And so it may be that the pollution gives the bacteria a chance to colonise down into the lungs, and then it may need some other factor then to trigger the disease. So again, that's something we're looking into.
Obviously, just from this paper on its own, we can't really make the leap to humans, but it does seem potentially quite worrying. So should we take a more bacteriocentric view when we look at the impacts, the health impacts of air pollution?
Yes, definitely. I think it's a starting point. It's pointed out that something's happening that we've not really considered before, and we need to look at it in a lot more detail.
So what's next for your research group?
So the next step for us is we're continuing on. We're building the group, we're building collaborations, and we're looking into what the mechanisms are that's involved, what are the genetic changes, with a view to how can we prevent it. We're learning a lot more about the ways that the bacteria cause disease. So both Staphylococcus and Streptococcus can colonise the nose without causing any signs of disease. And we don't exactly know what the triggers are for them to go down into the lungs and cause disease. So we can use this, and we're using this as a way of looking into that further as well.
You mentioned that you've assembled a multidisciplinary team. How important is that for this kind of research?
It's essential, because we've got experts in microbiota, bacteriology, the mice, and also then you have to have the atmospheric scientists involved. Because one of the things we're moving forward on is to get samples of pollution from other cities, other countries, and that needs to be analysed. And also you need that understanding of what the pollution means and the chemistry behind it. And so you definitely need that interdisciplinary interaction.
That was Dr. Julie Morrissey from the University of Leicester there, talking to Anand Jagatia. So that's it for this month. Thanks for listening. But before I go, we have some good news. Anand and I won an award from the Association of British Science Writers for the Microbiology Society's blog, which is called The Microbe Post. Now, obviously, we're absolutely delighted to have won, and thank you all for taking the time to read our stuff and leave comments and all the rest of it. But if you haven't, you can check out the blog at microbepost.org. The Microbiology Society is also on Facebook, and our Twitter handle is @microbiosoc. Our show was edited and produced this month by Anand Jagatia. I've been Dr. Benjamin Thompson. See you all next time.